going to go ahead and get started. Does everybody have a pad?
Yes.
Yes? All right. Did someone say no back there? Ah, okay. Yeah, we'll get you, we can get you a pen. So, first off, thank you very much for coming out. I honestly thought that I would be basically speaking to the camera back there, which, by the way, if you didn't know, all of our sessions have been recorded, and like within 24 hours, or at least I think we're saying 24 hours maybe, you'll be able to get access to any of the sessions that are here. So, do us a favor, tell your friends and your loved ones that we have these sessions and to have them check them out and watch them. So this will be kind of weird because we're doing sort of a hands-on exercise, but there is sort of this home audience as well. So they can follow along as well. They just need a pen and paper or pencil and paper, what have you. I will apologize in advance. I was up helping the hackathon people till 3 a.m. And so I'm probably a little off. So if I start just mumbling and fall asleep right here, just come by and kick me and wake me up. Yes, after you Instagram everything, that'll be the way to go. So this is hands-on Windows 8 app design with paper prototyping. My name's Tommy. You can find me on the Twitter at Tommy Lee. And then also, too, we have a website called wootstudio.ca. And basically what it is it's a website that we run for app builders and designers. And so what we try to do is for people focused on building Windows 8 apps, Windows Phone apps, and really just any kind of digital app in general, we like to talk about it from both of those perspectives. And by the way, how many of you all would consider yourselves developers? How many of you all would consider yourselves designers? And how many of you all think that you're at TEDx Ryerson? Okay, just want to make sure, because I was seeing like the tweets, and it was like TEDx was like getting big, and I was like, what, TEDx Ryerson? Like, no, it's pure imagination. And then someone told me like, no, TEDx is happening. So please wait till the session's over with, and then you can run over there as well. So everyone should have gotten a pad. You will need a pencil or a pen. This thing that we're doing here, it's a bit hands-on, but it's usually a three-hour topic that we've now compressed into a graceful 1 hour. So where usually we'll give you a bit more time to kind of think through things, we'll go just a slight bit faster. But again, you can take this home and play, at home if you don't have anything to do. So let's just jump right in. I'm sure you've seen this slide a million times. This one is going to be DES6, DES6, and of course the hashtag Win8PI. All right. So one of the things that's kind of interesting is that, everyone now is all digital, right? There's people, I'm not into analog, don't give me paper, they're dead trees and things like that. And so the question is like, well, why sketching? Why sketch out things like your app interfaces and how things are going to flow in your app? And there's a few reasons why. So one is it's less expensive. When you're building an app, it costs much more to change something or to change a different feature or an implementation when you're already sort of gone. And in fact, when you have an app that's already out there, it's even much more expensive to make that change. So what you want to do is earlier on in the process, you want to get your ideas out. And what I find is that when you start actually sketching your ideas out, that's when you sort of find these little things that go, oh, you know what, maybe I didn't really think that through. And like, I love the fact that as I've been walking the halls and been walking in the different groups and at the hackathons, I actually saw a lot of people sketching out their prototypes even before they did the code, right? And I've also seen the opposite side as well, right? Which is when it came time for hacking, it was like run to the computer and start coding, and then it's like, well, what do I need to do about that? Oh, I didn't think about that. So I always recommend to people, first think through what it is that you want to do, and it's part of that kind of design process. The other thing that's nice about sketching as well is that you'll find naturally your focus is going to be spent on the experience rather than the implementation. And what we're seeing more and more now is that people aren't winning sort of the app battles via features. Most people don't these days go, well, there's this flashlight app here and this flashlight app here, but this one has a blue tinge color to it, so I'm going to go with that one because it tends to have one more feature than the rest. It's usually not that. It's usually the experience, right? And a lot of people won't even know. They'll just look at your app and go, oh, this looks like a good quality app, and it's because you've thought through what those experiences are going to be. And when you're paper prototyping, that's what you should be thinking about. Don't think about the implementation. Don't think about, oh, well, gosh, with this, I'll have to set up a database, and then I'll have to do the queries, and then I'll have to do a MVVM, blah, blah. Don't think about those things. When you're into paper prototyping and you're in that prototyping phase, what you want to do is you actually want to iterate pretty fast through different concepts. And what's great about this is that how many times have you ever started on an app and then you've gotten like halfway through and you realize that, and it usually always, for me, it always happens in the shower for some reason. You know, you're sitting there and you're just like, oh yeah, the dog's got to go to the vet and stuff. And you're like, oh, I should have totally done it this way, right? And then now you're excited. You know, you're running into, you know, work and you're like, oh, I'm going to totally, you know, fix everything. And then everyone realizes that, you know, you're only in a towel kind of thing. So the thing is that we do want to make sure that we, you know, use sketching because we can iterate really fast, right? And it's actually less expensive to do these iterations, right, versus going into Photoshop and laying everything out, you know, pixel perfect, or, you know, working with some kind of interaction tool to do that. And so I find that by doing a lot of this, you will have thought through a lot of the challenges that you're going to face down the road. The other thing that's really nice as well is that, you know, it's much more durable than we think, right? Like, we hate the analog world, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to go like this. Still going to work, right? Can I take your machine and do the same thing? No. Yes. But exactly that. These things are fairly durable, although water still is a bit of a problem there. But I did see one time again where someone actually, like, they laminate theirs afterwards so that they stick around forever, that they can actually go back in their file system and see it. And it's kind of really kind of cool in a very librarian, modern way. And you sure could absolutely do that. There's tons of ways that you can handle that archival process. So the interesting thing is when people start paper prototyping, we all want to start drawing the boxes, right, for Windows 8 apps. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, time to get my grid on, you know, and just drawing those boxes. And yes, I'm going to act like I'm panning, you know, across. And what I do is I always say, take a step back. And it was great because at the academic thing on Friday night, and then for the hackathon, we actually forced people to give us a best stats statement. And I've read through a few of these best stats statements, and some are really good, some of them not so good. So I'm hoping that we can kind of talk about what that best stats statement is. And so the first thing you're going to want to do is to come up with what is that best stats statement. Then from there, you need to figure out what are the right scenarios, and then what are the right features. And we're actually going to talk about the difference between a scenario and a feature. And this is actually pretty important when you're planning out your app so that you, again, don't bog down into the details, but focus in on the experience. So how do we go about creating a best stat statement? Well, a best stat statement should be specific. It should be one sentence and truly differentiated. And what we mean by that is, you know, you want it to be specific. It can't be, I'm building the best app ever, or I'm building an app that will make me a millionaire. Not very specific as to what it is that it's going to be best at. Also, it should never be a run-on sentence or multiple sentences. If you can't explain it in a sense of why your app is the best at what it does, you really need to rethink should you be doing that app. And that's very clear when we do these hackathons, right? Because I know a lot of people come in and they go, I'm going to build Facebook on Windows 8, and it's going to be this new thing. And then what happens is about, 6 hours, 7 hours later, around, 2 at night, they're like, I'm going to build a flashlight, and it'll have a blue tinge to it, Because what happens is you realize, I've taken on too much. And the great thing about the best stat statement is when you keep it simple, it really does keep you focused. The other thing is you want to make sure that you're truly differentiated. You need to look at your best stat statement when you build it and say, okay, am I just doing what someone else is doing? Or do I truly have something unique and different? So for example, if you're like, hey, I'm going to have the best wallpaper app ever. Well, why are you going to be different than the other 100 people who are going to build wallpaper apps? You want to truly differentiate that. And simply, we've even given you most of the sentence. So if you want to write the start of the sentence down, this app is the best app in its category at, and that's the part that you're going to fill out. And what you want to do is you want to recognize that app, recognize what your app is best at, focus again, those scenarios and features which we'll talk about. But the key point to this slide is use it throughout the design and development process. I love it when I hear people say, that doesn't go with our best stat statement, or that doesn't mesh with our best stat statement. I love it because it defines what exactly you're going to do. And what we've learned over time is that design sometimes is about the things that you don't do. It's the things that you take away, that the things that you're thoughtful about. Just putting yet another 100 features on the stack isn't going to be helpful. So here is an example of a best stat statement. So for example, we have this fictitious Food with Friends app. And the best stat statement is Food with Friends is the best app in its category at helping users and their friends find a restaurant to eat at tonight. It's very specific, right? It's not just about, finding a restaurant, right? Because there's another company or few companies that do that called Bing, Google, Yelp, Urban Spoon. We can go down the path. Through all of those. But it's very specific to to eat at tonight, that I'm with particular friends and things like that. So again, and notice, it's very focused, it's one sentence, and it's very much differentiated. So once you've done the best stat statement, the next step is to go ahead and choose the right scenarios that your app is going to use. And you want those scenarios, again, that only focus on supporting that best stat statement. And that's why I tell people, in this instance, we're going to probably spend all of 2 minutes coming up with a best stat statement. But I tell people, you may spend multiple days coming up with that best stat statement and refining that best stat statement. It's usually not just a boom, there it is. It's really thoughtful on how you come up with that. Now, the thing to think about when we think about scenarios is that scenarios represent the actual possible situations, and that these are the things that people are going to think about what they want to do when they're using your app. Because we think of it as an imagined set of circumstances that help a user reach a goal. And when you think about this, these are the things that people want to do. They're not features of your app because, again, most people are not looking at features. We don't go in, when we're going to buy a car and we go, wow, that carburetor looks really, really good. Wow, this is an excellent carburetor. No, we don't do that. Cars have carburetors still, right?
No?
Oh, my gosh. Boy, did I totally date myself or what here? But, okay, fuel injectors. Exactly. So the thing is that people don't think about that. When they think about a car, they think of these use cases, right? That, hey, I want to get to work, or I want to get to work in style, or I want to get a car that I think the significant other will appreciate, or I want something that will keep my kids quiet in the back. You're not thinking of those very specific things. But when you are brainstorming scenarios, the thing to not do is to kind of put your mind into this is a feature versus this. You can do that afterwards. The thing with brainstorming is you just want to get things out there, right? And the brainstorming should be wide open. It should be, hey, there's no bad ideas. It's always funny at Microsoft, and oh, this is being recorded, so I'll have to watch. I don't say any names. But I don't know how many brainstormings I've been in where it starts off with, there's no bad ideas in brainstorming. And then after about the third idea, there's always like the Microsoft person who's going to be like, well, actually, that's not going to work because of blah, 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 blah. And it's like, it's notorious for that happening. But what you have to do is you really have to focus in on just getting those things out, getting them on paper. Then what you can do is focus and go, okay, what is a scenario versus what is a feature? And again, what I was talking about earlier, scenario is a goal that users want to achieve using your app. Features are a mean to the end. Again, the fuel injector is a mean to an end. It's not the thing that you're buying the car, you know, for. So what you start doing is you start removing the features. Happy holidays. So you want to start removing the features. And so what you do is you look at things like search for a restaurant. That's a feature. That's not a scenario. Reading a review. Getting business details. And you can read through this, again, sample session here. And so what you'll notice is that we start getting rid of those features, and we now start seeing those scenarios bubbling up from our brainstorming jam session. So again, remove the scenarios that don't support your best at statement. Then what you start doing is you go, okay, now that I've gotten rid of all the features, now let me go ahead and get rid of non-supporting scenarios. So what we do is we go ahead and we grab our best at statement above here, and then we start removing those non-supporting scenarios. So for example, if you read the best at statement, does interact with restaurant owners really align with our best at statement? Probably not. That's going to be an extra thing. Might be good for V2, what have you, but that's not what you're going to do. And again, with the time constraints that you probably are going to have when you're building any app these days, you really do have to focus. And so we can, again, start slicing these out of here. Then we come to these scenarios. Find restaurants that my friends want to eat at. Find restaurants that I want to eat at. Make dinner plans for tonight with friends. And now it's very crisp as to what we're going to do, and also very clear as to what we're not going to do. So you've got your best at statement. You now pick the right scenarios. Now what we need to do is we need to pick the right features. So how do we go about doing that? First, we figure out why the slide's not going. Oh, there you go. So again, the scenarios were the reasons why people use our app. Features are how are they going to achieve those scenarios. So what you do is you say, does the feature that we're thinking about and considering, does it make one of the scenarios great? Will every feature be used by most users? A lot of times what happens is we want to be friends with everyone, right? You know, it's like, oh, I want everyone to like me. That's not how the world is. Every person has one person that totally hates them in the world, and there's no clue as to why. It just is that way. Well, that's a Thomasism, so it might not be real, but that's what I think. And also, too, features should be very specific, that you're going to do a certain thing to achieve something. Now, you can see, look, we brainstormed a ton of features, right? But what we're going to do is we're going to start going through them. And we're going to ask the question, does the feature support a scenario? So we begin looking at these and going, well, finding nearby businesses, does that really deal with any of the three scenarios we had? Not really. Message boards, organizing events by future dates. And the good part about this is all of this can be put into a backlog for the next version. It's not like you have to say, oh, these are bad ideas. You can kind of put them to the side, but for what you're going to do at this time, you want to, again, get very, very focused. You also, because you're building a Windows 8 app, preferably, is you want to remove features that are covered by charms or within the platform that you're building for. So, for example, search, We don't need to implement search in our app because we can take advantage of a search contract within Windows. Sharing photos, sharing a restaurant, log in, log out, all of those things are available to us via the platform. So I don't need to go ahead and build out those things. It just won't make a lot of sense. Also, you're not taking advantage of what people have learned on the platform to begin with. Then we want to eliminate features laid out as part of the content. And what we mean by this is that there are some things that happen just by the nature of how we've created the content in the grid structure and things like that. So there's some stuff, for example, like reading a review. What's the feature you're going to implement? What's the code to make someone actually read a review? That's not actually a feature. It's something that's just probably going to happen. The same thing with getting business details, rating a restaurant. That'll actually be a part, again, of that content. And then, of course, eliminate the things that, again, are system features that you're not going to do. And cut, copy, paste is, you know, a good example of something you really shouldn't have to implement on your own. So then, again, after we do all of that, we now have our final feature list. Everything is said and done. Then what we now want to do is go ahead and take those features and group them by the scenarios. So our scenarios were make dinner plans with friends, find restaurants that I want to eat at, and find restaurants my friends want to eat at. And now what we can do is we can take all of those features and start putting them and aligning them to a scenario. And now what's great about it is that as you're thinking about, especially if you were a part of the hackathon, is instead of trying to do everything, and I see this happen all the time where, you know, someone's like, okay, I'm going to build a game, so I'm going to do a sprite animation tool here. And then, oh, I'm going to go ahead and build a background over here. And then at the same time, I'm trying to debug this error. And instead, what you can do is you can get very focused in on, let's get this right. Then when we've got that scenario knocked out, move over to the next scenario and start working on that one. And then working on that one, because I can guarantee you that, and as one of the judges of the event, I'm looking at this, right? I'm looking at who are the people who are going to go, well, we were going to try to make dinner plans for tonight with friends working, but we couldn't get that fixed, so we had a bug and couldn't do that. Well, then we tried to like find the current location, but we had some problems with the GPS. And so then we tried to do, you know, and I'm going, well, did you actually build anything? Well, not really. It's more conceptual. It's theater of the mind, you know? And it's like, yeah, the zero, you know? So then, again, we can now take all of those features and break it down into feature sets. So, for example, if I'm going to vote on a plan, I can have the each individual items there. When I'm starting a plan, suggesting a restaurant, make a reservation at a restaurant. And so you can see that what we're doing, we just continue to get very granular at what we're doing. And so we do this with the others here as well. So we are 25 minutes in, and we did say this is hands-on. So now what you're going to do is you're going to put pen or pencil to paper. You're going to come up with whatever. This isn't a test. But what I want to do is just to take about 5 to 7 minutes. You're going to start off with a create a best at statement. Then I just want you to rapidly iterate and figure out what the right scenarios are and then what those right features for the scenarios are. I am expecting you will not get finished with this. Because usually what we would do is we would take about an hour to do this, and you're doing it in 7 minutes. But try your best. Just grab a sheet off of there and just start thinking through and writing and just get involved with the process. And we'll start back up in about 7 minutes on the next topic. So, easy. Moderately difficult, required thinking, important, like that. Anybody willing to share? Best at statement? Build the best program to build Metro Windows. Okay. So the Metro thing. got the thing there, but that's fine. How far were you able to get to your scenarios? Were you able to? Oh, very good. Very good. Will, for being such a willing to talk in front of the classroom, I'm going to give you a nice little Windows 8 UI stencil from UI Stencils. It's a $27 retail value. There you go. Enjoy. And so how many of you, when you started writing out your scenarios and your features, how many of you all just like totally brainstormed? You didn't really put any thinking into whether it was a feature or if it was a scenario. How many of you all just like went wild? Were there? Yeah. That's a good way to do it. I always prefer just to get everything out on paper and then go later, because then what happens is you will write something down and then you'll just kind of go back and go, oh, but you know, maybe that doesn't fit, blah, blah, blah. No, you want to just get it down on paper. That helps out quite a bit. So, good.
Mm-hmm. Like, if you start removing what's common to the others, then your app is just doing one thing.
Correct. So you're at a scenario level, you may have the same scenario as another app, right? So you're correct, because what you could end up doing is you could be like, I'm a spreadsheet that does tree calculations, you know, and that's it. But no, you still have to be a great, you know, a spreadsheet. So yeah, when it comes to defining your scenarios are, it's your best at is a different, is going to be a differentiator overall, but you're not necessarily going to have that at the feature level or I'm totally spacing on the word we were just using, scenario. At that level. Okay, so the next thing we're going to do is we're going to talk a little bit about navigation patterns. So within typical Windows 8 apps, there is two kind of patterns that sort of, you know, you'll find that all through Windows. And just about every app is sort of either one or the other. But I also just kind of want to wrap your heads around that there is also a bit of a mixture of both as well. But as a kind of an easy way to sort of think through, like, what is that navigational pattern going to be, you can look at two different ones. The first one, which I see quite a bit of, and most people think about this pattern kind of instinctively when they look at Windows 8, is the hierarchical pattern. And this is pretty much best for large collections of related content. And this is why you see, like, news apps and things like that work really well in this hierarchical pattern, right? And because we need to actually break it down into pieces, we need sections and we need details, and we may want to kind of categorize things in certain ways. And what's nice is, again, what I was saying before, this pattern provides this intuitive navigation and promotes discovery. Because what happens is that people sort of are, you know, when they look at this, they tend to like say, oh, well, here's all the different things I can look at. Then I can click on this. It will take me down, you know, a bit further. Then I may want to see an item detail of it. And then semantic zoom, which you may have heard about, kind of plays really well with the hierarchical pattern as well. And so it typically will look like this. You'll have a hub page. I've even seen a lot of people call it their dashboard page. And this basically is going to be the heart of your app. And what it does is it sort of provides an overall navigation for the content. And so this is really what good when someone first opens your app for the first time and they're just trying to figure out, like, what all is here. And then they can decide what are the kind of detailed items that they want to take a look at. And so you have this hub, and then, you know, kind of in that second logical layer, you have these section pages or a section page, which again, it's content focused in on that section. And what that doesn't mean is it just has to be a list of those things. It can be a list of those things in addition with other content, right? So for example, if you are doing, you know, produce online, you want to be the next Spud CA. It doesn't mean that the section page has to be, you know, apples, you know, and just nothing but the different, you know, listing of apples. What it can be is like, hey, I'm going to not only have like, you know, Braeburn, you know, Washington State, Granny Smith's, things like that, but you could also maybe have an item that talks about, hey, by the way, here's one of the farms that we get our apples from, and things like that. So you can kind of use it as sort of a logical way of kind of assembling those. Then, of course, you'll get down to this details page where you're going to focus in on those very individual scenarios or items of content where there's not going to be any more kind of drilling into it. Now, a lot of people will say, well, I've got a lot of content, you know, so I'm going to need to go about 10 layers deep. So can I get a breadcrumb? And we're like, no. And what I've pretty much found out is that if you're going past five, you're going to lose your users, right? Because what we don't want users doing is focusing in on kind of where they're, you know, where they're going to go or where they're at in your app. You want it to be somewhat logical. And typically what I've found is that three is kind of like the perfect. Four is okay. Five is about where it's like, okay, yeah, don't go any further than that. That tends to work out fairly well for most folks. So again, if you find yourself kind of looking at your content and trying to kind of categorize it and you find yourself, you know, going a lot of layers deep, you're probably not thinking about it all the way through. And so spend a little more time figuring out, like, what are those aggregation points that we have? Or maybe what I really need is a semantic view, which is a different view. It's not another layer, but it's just a different view on the overall aggregated data. And you see this a lot, for example, in things like news apps, right? Where what you can do is maybe you're looking at the news page. In fact, I'll just show you an example here. So here in the news app, for example, if I look on the dashboard page, you know, I can see, okay, Bing Daily shows me U.S. stuff. That should be Canada, by the way. World, technology. I can keep scrolling, politics, and things like that. But if I implement a semantic zoom, I can actually take a different view of the same content. And so you have something like this so that if I want to get directly to entertainment because, oh, my God, I got to know what these people are doing, you know, today. Up and they're not doing much. Oh, no, they really are. Oh, please. Okay. Anyway, don't even get me started on that. Don't even get me started. I'm a big horror fan, and I actually had someone who was like, you know, so, oh, you're into horror? What do you think of Twilight? And I was like, oh my gosh, kid, I'm going to throw you out of this window right now. Okay, that's totally segueing or sideways off the rails. Let's get it back on. Okay, so we talked about hierarchical. There's also the flat pattern. And this is when we have content that pretty much stays on the same level. And it also may be totally unrelated. A great example of this is Internet Explorer is a good example, or maybe a document viewer. So you have multiple documents that you want to take a look at. They're not sort of drill downs. You don't go yet drilling down into document after document. You really will want to use this navigation bar to get to the different types of documents that you're interested in. And again, the same thing with the web. This works out really well, like I said, with browsers, also games too. And games is kind of interesting because I've talked to a couple of people and they sort of say like, oh, I can throw out the modern UI because I'm building a game. And I'm like, well, no, actually you shouldn't. And we'll talk about that when we talk about app bars and things like that. But games can even kind of fit into this model. Now, it may not be something, you know, austere like this. It might be, you know, something that's related to the brand of your game and the emotional invocation you want from the game. But it can still use this. And again, what we want to do is we want to make sure that the hub page is driven by the scenarios. And so when you look at your hub page, one of the questions that you should ask yourself is, are the items on here going to lead people to do things based on the scenario that they're interested in? So what we'll want to do is we'll want to go back to the scenarios that we have and say, okay, when I create my hub, am I thinking about these scenarios? Is this one of the, for each scenario, am I going to be able to pretty much figure out how to make that next step, right? Because we are, Windows 8 isn't just, considered like a laptop, device, but it's also a part of the mobile experience. And we know that people are doing a variety of different things with mobile, right? And it's not one of those things that, don't get caught up in the mobile as this, right? Like, oh, I'm walking somewhere and that I'm doing something, right? And that I'm constantly in motion. And the reason why you gotta like make it easy for me is because I might like walk into traffic or things like that. That's not what we necessarily mean by mobile. In fact, there is a study that has been done where they asked men and women, where do you use your mobile device most of the time? And let's put women over here for right now. They asked the men this. 80% of the men, where do you think that they use their mobile device the most? The toilet. Yes, which I continue to believe that makes men totally disgusting. And the women, they were about 8%. So there you go. But that's exactly it, right? We don't necessarily know where people are going to be consuming our content and how. We just know that they will be. So we need to make it as easy as possible. And the person who is on the toilet wants to find out how to make dinner plans for tonight with friends just as fast and simple and elegant as the person who is walking down the street. And here's an example, again, where you can use that hierarchical model to get to the different things. So friends' wish list. And also, too, a lot of these things can be, they don't have to fall into the, you're going to immediately go from, the first layer to the section and then to the detail. Sometimes what you may do is you may have something up on the top layer that goes directly to a detail. This becomes especially important when people are trying to do things, for example, like monetize, right? Where they might say, hey, I'm a travel agency and we want to book people to Florence, Italy. And so what they may do is in that top left hand, if they are so inclined by their own particular scenarios, maybe not what their user wants, but their own scenarios, they can make it where it can go directly to a detail page if they want to. So, now we're back to the lab again. What I want you to do is to think about your best at statement and think about which navigation pattern are you going to use. Are you going to use the hierarchical pattern or are you going to do a flat pattern? Then spend some time doing sort of a scenario walkthrough and maybe begin sketching out your hub page and see what you think that will look like and what that will be, and make sure that your scenarios apply to that. And what we'll do is we'll do another 7 minutes to do that, and then we'll jump right back on. Because we have such a small, intimate crowd, when you leave, feel free to take another one of these. These are $14 a piece, and it is the holiday season, so if you have a significant other or a loved one, it makes a great stocking stuffer. So feel free to take one at the end, but let you get back to it. When I come to that first page, is it pretty apparent that, oh, I can do this type of thing, right? So it's kind of like if I'm looking for flight information. So if I went to like an airplane app or an airline app, I would assume that if it's, if my scenario was check, flight status or check in for a flight, I would see that here. Now, it doesn't mean that it has to be like right here. This is number two, this is number three. But if it is the scenarios that are most important, a lot of times you will see that they will somewhat align to that. But we'll talk about sort of exceptions at the end. A single page display of your data. Are you meaning content as in game, or do you mean as I would just put one page and then I would just scroll up as I needed to look at more of that data?
Yeah, but in the left side you have your items, on the right side you have your update of the items that you want to look at.
Yeah, I mean, so yeah, again, this is going to be a little bit. It's the answer is always it depends. There's a lot of different pieces of the puzzle, but I my feeling is that if it feels somewhat natural, in a touch metaphor, then usually it works out fairly well. Right, so there's some rules that you're going to want, or guides that you're going to want to apply. Right, like if you have people panning, for example, from like left to right or right to left, what you don't want to do is then when they get to a certain point to find out more, they need to go, down. I've seen like magazine apps that do this, not on the Windows 8 platform, but I've seen on other platforms, and they have this weird thing where you kind of start at the top going through the magazine, and then when you go to an article, you scroll down, and then at this point it might talk about a sub-article, and so you're over here, but then if you want to get back to where you were reading, you got to go back up and over and through. That's pretty annoying, and it's just not cognitively a good idea. So what I traditionally will say is that like if you can keep things and you can do it in a touch-based way, because that's another good example that I always do is go, so people will say, how does this work out? And I'll go, okay, let's take away your keyboard and let's see how you're going to manipulate this with touch. And I can guarantee you, touch will usually find about 70 to 80% of your problems with the way people get around in your app, because touch is, when done right, is a great way of interacting with things. We kind of gotten a bit dependent on our mice and done wayfinding little tricks and tips, and I talk about it in some of my other talks. But as long as it feels pretty natural, you should be fine. What you want to kind of stay away from is sort of taking the traditional navigational things like tree views and data grids and things like that, and kind of think through how is it that someone's going to work with that. And I can talk with you afterwards as well in a little bit greater detail. Oh, sure. Oh, that's interesting. It's funny because you hear different people say different things, right? I've had some people who will say no more than 3 swipes, and I'll be like, well, what's that based on? And they'll be like, well, my grandma, she doesn't like to swipe any more than 3. But I also believe too that one of the fortunate things that we have are these opposable thumbs of ours, because when you have a device, it's very easy for you when you're grabbing just to keep flicking, but again, it becomes annoying if you're flicking for long periods of time. Also, what I find is that if someone is flicking for a long period of time, it's because we haven't done a good enough job on the information architecture of figuring out like how can we collapse things into composable things that make sense. So I don't really have a good, like, hey, it's 3 swipes or it's 4 swipes. What I find is that there's sort of just a natural thing to it, where it's different in a catalog, for example. Because in a catalog format, what might happen is you might have it where, you have these images, right, of here is, nice-looking gentleman in a coat and tie, nice-looking gentleman in chinos, nice-looking gentleman on this. And you're going to want to kind of see those different views like you do in a catalog, right? That's why, like, in menswear catalogs, you open it up and there's, like, 7 men all just kind of, standing around like this, because you want to kind of view all of these things and kind of connect them together. But, yeah, it's definitely going to be it depends on the the type of content that you have. All right, so we're going to talk about tiles. This is one of those things that I tell people, if there's something that you can focus your efforts on, it is your tile. Your tile means so much because this is basically this is the front door to your to your app. And this is what a lot of people are going to be looking at when they're interacting with your app. In fact, a lot of times people aren't even going to go into the app. For example, the weather app's a great example. The weather app, I don't go into it unless I'm demoing it. I just do a real quick glance. I see like, oh, the weather in Vancouver is 7. And then I remember that I lived in America most of my life, and I don't know really if 7 is hot or cold. Then I do the calculation in my head, and I go, oh, okay, yeah, that's it. And that's the way a lot of people are going to interact with your app. So you want to make sure that if they're interacting with your app in this way, that you spend the time there. There's nothing worse than seeing, a live tile that, they use the clip art, they put some clip art in there. They didn't really make it live or interactive. It just sort of, sits there, unused. And so what we do is we try to recommend to people that, think about it, because it should be rich and engaging, even if your app isn't running. And then you can update content via tile notification. So you can actually have your app update, like, for example, the news, and it can do 5 news items here, and you can set it up so that it will update the pictures as well. You can add these nice things, or you can even add glyphs. So, for example, in our mail app, you can see, hey, I have 3 or 4 unread mails. And the great part is this is templated for you. There's actually a finite amount of things that you can do in the tile. And the reason why is because, one of the questions I always get is like, hey, can I just put ads in there? And I'm like, absolutely not. That's a horrible experience. Then there's the people who are like, well, I'm going to make a game inside the live tile. And I'm like, no, it don't work that way. It's a template, but it's a very rich template because you can use pictures or you can use these kind of, these keyed pictures. Or again, like you could just use simple typography like we do in the calendar app. But again, this is something that I tell people, really think about it. For example, don't just take advantage of everything, right? Don't start adding like random, hey, let me just put another, counter on there just so that I have something. That's not it. The thing to think about is what, again, is that experience that I want people to see? What does, and at the end of the day, I always, when I'm designing my own live tiles, I go, what is the live tile saying about my app? What does, when someone takes a look at this, what do they think? And that's what you should do with your live tiles as well. So this one's kind of a little more fun. What you're going to do is you're just going to go ahead and design your live tile. And so, maybe you have branding in your head, but walk through that. And then again, consider the content of your app. So for example, is your app something where there will be news, right? So for example, if you're building the best darn, weather app for Ryerson University itself, what is it that you're going to do in that live tile that's very specific to that? And even better yet, what are the things that you may not do? So what I want you to do, and we'll take just like 3 minutes at the most, and go ahead and sketch out your live tile to support your scenarios and updates for that content. So this one will be pretty fast. We'll do 2 to 3 minutes tops. That's perfect. So one of the things to consider is when not to do things, right? So a calculator is a great example where I probably will not want something to be updated in there. So what I will do is I will purposefully say, you know what? I'm not going to add a bunch of superfluous imagery, right? I'm not going to have like, a model there, holding the calculator, there. What I would do is I would say purposefully, I've chosen this. And here is why, because I feel that A, the imagery doesn't make sense for this calculator app, and I believe that typography will make a bigger difference. Or you might say, hey, I'm using sort of a retro look and feel to my app for my calculator. It kind of harkens back to the old, you know, I forget what were the, there was the big, huge calculators when I was in university that everyone had. You know, maybe you're harkening back to that. So then you might want to have an image there. So this is kind of interesting because the live tile is a lot more about, in a way, branding than it is necessarily about, you know, a particular function. But it is definitely something that you should think of. And by saying that, like, I wouldn't add this, that's a perfect thing to write down and say, yeah, we're not going to do this because of.
So with the live tile, no matter where you push on it, it's always the same, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and in the live tile, you wouldn't have any way to do that. And there are secondary tiles that you can do, but again, you don't have any interactivity with it directly.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Exactly. All right. 1 minute. Okay. So let's talk about some resources. If you really get excited about sketching and you're like, oh man, I just can't get enough of this, you know, and this was too short, go get Bill Buxton's book, Sketching User Experiences. Now, it's not specifically about Windows 8. He talks about just sketching overall. Bill Buxton is a Microsoft researcher and designer, and his focus is natural user interface experiences. And this book's really just mind-opening. So, you know, he not only talks about software, but he also talks about sketching for, you know, products and physical things. Also, there's a lady named Sarah Summers who I've worked with, and she's at uxarray.com. She's written a book on sketching, and she does a lot of different posts on sketching, which is just like amazing. So please keep an eye on her. She does just incredible stuff, and that's at uxarray.com. Also, if you like these stencils and you want to get them, we have them not only, the uistencils.com has them not only for Windows 8, but Windows Phone, websites, if you're Android or if you're iPhone or iPad, they have these as well. And again, you don't have to have like the special pads and the special, you know, stencils and things like that to do sketching, but it does make it a little bit nice, right? Like when you see on these pads, there's quite a bit of detail. For example, you can see exactly where the app bar would go, or that if you put your app in Snap View, you'll see where that is. And it's just some really, you know, it's really just good stuff. So check it out if you want to. That's at uistencils.com. Also, too, live and love design.windows.com. This is just like, to me, one of the greatest places ever. It's one of my, when I start up my browser, this is the page that it goes to. There's a lot of amazing stuff from everything we talked about. So the best at, doing best at statements to navigation. What we went through was probably about, I would say, 4 topics out of 12 topics that we would normally go through in a full fledged prototyping exercise. And then just one more thing. So one of the things that happens a lot is that, you know, you sit in these design sessions, you know, and you read the stuff on design.windows.com, and you'll get this kind of feeling like there's all of these edicts being put on you, which is really weird, right? Because like in the, you know, earlier Windows days, it was kind of a free-for-all, right? Like, you could write, if you wanted to have like a gray screen with a red button and a blinking blue button, you could do that. No one was telling you otherwise. And now all of a sudden, here comes Microsoft going like, no, you need to put this at, you know, this many pixels, and these, you know, type sizes should be this to establish a clever hierarchy. Don't get caught up in the have-tos. It must be exactly like this. I encourage people, play around with the different things. For example, you don't have to do something 100% hierarchical or 100%, you know, flat. Appreciate it. I am tired. You don't have to decide that. You can decide to kind of create a hybrid. What I recommend that you do, though, is that when you are going to go against the guidance, or you're going to kind of step out of the guidance, make sure that you've thought through, why are you doing this, right? So, you know, don't find yourself getting into this have to. And like, even the developers in the room, how many times have you been told, like, oh, well, this is the language, right? Or this is the only one way to do this. And we always find out that what happens is that the one way to do this always changes year to year. So it's the same thing with design. Design changes. There's some fundamentals that design is built on top of that don't change. But for things like what you see, feel free to play around with them. Just because you see an app bar, you know, done 100 different ways, or if you see the same grid with the same tiles of the same size, try changing the sizing of those. Try putting in a silhouette. You'll find that it will make your app kind of shine above what everyone else is doing if everyone is following just basically the same type of patterns. And again, these are guidelines. You should do these kinds of things. It's going to make your life easier, and it's going to be something that users are going to expect. But when you want to create unique experiences, feel free to kind of color outside of the lines at times. If you love this kind of stuff, you can follow me on the Twitter at Tommy Lee. And again, we talk about these topics all the time at wootstudio.ca. We're also going to be doing a lot of these design clinics over the next 6 months. So if you're interested in those, please keep an eye on either of those, and we'll be making them available to you. So thank you very much.